I want to use some scripture this morning out of the New Testament from the 12th chapter of the book of Luke, starting in with the 16th verse. And if I have some thoughts that I want you to remember this morning, it's this, that we as God's children can very easily become too much at ease. And we also can become a little bit careless. And when we do that, you can just rest assured we're headed for trouble. And I certainly hope that we can avoid that by just remembering that no matter where we are in our spiritual lives, we are always still in need of the Lord. We never get to the point of where that we don't need Him, and we need never get to the point of where we think we can get along without Him. And He spake a parable unto them, saying, this is Jesus speaking, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This night shall thy soul be required of thee. This is a very familiar portion of the Word of the Lord to you, and I'm sure that each one of you have read it several times because you have Bibles and you read them all the time. I think that often if we are not careful, and I know this parable deals with the physical or the natural things of man, but we also need to understand that this can be applicable to our spiritual lives. That just because God has blessed us or is blessing us is not insurance that He's going to continue to do that regardless of what our attitude or our approach is. Just because you're a child of God does not necessarily mean that you are entitled to blessing. Most every blessing in the Word of the Lord is conditional. And those conditions are placed upon us that we meet them, and providing that we meet them, then God is going to bless us. There's no question about Him going to do that. But don't ever get the idea in your head that you are entitled to some of these things, because you're not. We as a child of God just need to always be thankful that we are one of His children, that He has saved us, and that He loved us enough that He did save us. And we do not have a point in our life to where that we can say, you know, we're doing pretty well, and we don't need to worry about anything else, because that is not going to happen as long as we live down here. There is always going to be work for us to do. And as we do His work, there is always going to be the responsibility that we need to look to Him for direction and for help. I take a great amount of pride in how many years I've been saved now and how many years I've been preaching the gospel. But let me tell you something. One of the things that I learn more every single day is that the longer that I've been in His work, the more dependent I become and have to become upon Him to be able to do what He wants to have done. I need Him more than I've ever needed Him before. I need Him as much as I can possibly need Him to get through today and to do what it is that He has for me to do today. And I need to think about that, as do you need to think about that, as we approach things. We do not know how long any one of us have. Not a single one of you here know whether you're going to make it through the rest of the day or not. every single one of us probably have every intention of making it, and none of us have the idea in mind that someone here might be gone before the day is out. But let me tell you that the Word of the Lord has many, many examples of individuals who had those same thoughts. And I particularly went back in the Old Testament and picked out two or three, and then I want to talk about one in the New Testament, that at a moment in time, everything seemed to be going for them as well as could possibly be going. Belshazzar, king, was having the time of his life. He had called in 1,000 people to enjoy with him. They were going to have, actually it was a drunken orgy is what it amounted to. But when they got there and they began to celebrate, and he was thinking what a wonderful job he was doing and how that he was being blessed to be the king over this people, that he wanted to be sure that these people understood how he was blessed. And so he sent his servants and he said, now you go and you bring up here the vessels that my grandfather took whenever that they captured the children of Israel in Jerusalem, and they took them out of the temple and brought them there and had them stored away. They were trophies for them. You know, there are many times that we as God's children kind of like to have our trophies. Spiritually speaking, not necessarily naturally speaking, but spiritually speaking, we like to kind of have these things that we hold up here as a trophy so that people can see what we're doing and what a good job that we're doing and how God is blessing us and how successful we are in His work. And we get to the point to where that we say, as this man did in the parable, soul, take thine ease. You have enough. You've worked hard. You've served a long time and you have enough. Just kind of back off a little bit. Let me tell you something. The Bible very clearly teaches, to whom much is given, much is required. Some of you have been blessed with a talent that you're not exercising, that you're not using. And you don't need to look at me and act like that maybe it's me. I'm not the one who's prohibiting you or preventing you from doing it. God has blessed you and you need to use the talent that God has given you. Now, not everybody's going to sing. Not everybody's going to play the piano. Not everybody's going to preach. But God has given every single one of His children a talent. Every single one of you. I never say that when I don't think of my mom. Greg, my mom used to, every once in a while, she'd be listening to me preach, and I'd come across that, and mom would sit back there shaking her head, no. I knew what she meant. She'd always tell me, the Lord didn't give me any talent. I said, Mom, He did too. God's Word is not a liar. And God teaches in His Word that every single one of you, so every single one of you as a child of God have been given a talent. Some of you say, well, I don't know what mine is. Then you need to find out. And then you need to use that talent as long as you are alive, and you need not just slough off. Some of you have been using them, but you've decided for some reason you don't need to any longer. Some of you, it may be that you're a prayer warrior. Some of you, that you are truly a good witness for the Lord to lost people. Now, don't jump up from here and everybody say, I've got to go out here now and start witness because the preacher got up there and said that. You'll fall just as flat on your face as can be. I guarantee you. You need the leadership of the Lord in whatever it is you're doing. But God will give you His leadership. He'll provide if we will just allow Him to take us and to use us. I tell people all the time, you know, I love to preach. I love to feel the presence and the power of the Lord, and there isn't anyone who enjoys it any more than I do. There are a lot of preachers who can do a lot better, but I'm going to guarantee you this one thing, they won't work any harder at it than I do, because I know that I've got to have the help of the Lord. And I depend upon Him. I trust Him. I've tried Him so many times. I have every confidence in the Lord. I've got a lot more confidence in the Lord than I do any single one of you. And I've got a lot of confidence in a lot of you people. But I've not tried you like I have the Lord. And He's always proved Himself to me. He's there. But we can get to the point to where we get a little careless. We can decide, you know, everything's going along fine. Everybody's getting along well. And everything's going well. And God's blessing us, and we just kind of need to sit back and coast. That's a trap that the devil will lead you in every time, and I'll guarantee you when he gets you there, he's going to laugh about it. B. Belshazzar gathered all of these people together. They were having their drunken orgy, and all of a sudden, there's a message comes from the Lord. And Belshazzar instantly, his countenance changes. And he goes from being probably what most of us would be, stone drunk to stone sober. And the Bible says that his countenance changed and his knees shook and they smote one against the other. I happen to have the privilege of sitting up here, and a lot of times I get to see you musicians come up here and sing, and I notice a lot of times that you're nervous. Now see, I see things that other people don't see up there. I can see that little tremor of a pant leg or of a dress tail, or I can see the handshake or something. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you something. Once in a while, and I say this in all sincerity, that I love to preach when I've got just a little bit of fear and a little bit of anticipation there. I know God's going to come through, but boy, I'm always worried, Dan, whether or not I'm to where I need to be for him to be able to come through. Yeah, so I get a little nervous sometimes as to whether I'm just right or not. The Bible says Belshazzar called for these astrologers and the magicians and everyone to come in and to tell him what the meaning of this message was that was sent from God Almighty. And they couldn't give him the interpretation. Finally, the queen comes in. At the risk of death, she comes in before him and says, you know what? There is a man of God who can tell you. You need to bring him in here. And so they send for the old prophet, and he comes in and he says, I will tell you what the message is. And he interpreted for Belshazzar the message. And one of the last things in it was is that the kingdom is taken from you. And then I want you to listen, if I can find it real quick here. I want you to just hear, and this is in the fifth chapter, the book of Daniel. After that, Daniel has interpreted the writing that's on the wall. I've said the dream. I think if I said the dream, I didn't mean that. It wasn't a dream. It was a handwriting on the wall. Many, many tinkle a parson. Now, I'll get it in a minute here. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. The kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. So after Daniel has interpreted for the king this dream, and the king is so pleased and happy about this, he sets him up to be the third highest in the nation. But now listen. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. That night he died. He died. All of this glory and splendor and hooping and hollering and hallelujah and praising and everything that had been going on came to a sudden stop because he died that night. God doesn't always piddle around with us. God doesn't always just play with us. We like to play around a lot. I tell people every once in a while, used to more than I do anymore, but I used to tell people in revival meetings, whenever we come to the end of the service, we're going to have an invitation song. We're going to have an invitation song. And to me, that's the most important part of the service there is right then. That invitation. Because that's going to put you on the spot as to what you're going to do. I will have delivered my message. I will have preached the word. But now it's up to you as to what you're going to do. And I'm not going to have them sing five songs. I'm not going to have them sing four songs. If you mean business with the Lord, you get down to business and you let him know it right now. Don't dilly-dally around about it. Don't say, well, I'll do that some other time. Or I'll do that when I feel like it. Or I'll do that when they sing the third song. I'll come then. No, no, no. Get down to business with the Lord. We've got too many of God's children today doing the same thing. They want to just piddle around and play around until they get into a serious problem, and then they get serious. Oh, Lord, I've got to help. Oh, Lord, mercy, God, God, God. You know what God said to one of his prophets one time? He said, I'll tell you what, you go down there. Those people have disobeyed me. They've gone away from me and everything else. And when they get in trouble, you know what they're going to do? They're going to call on me. You go down there and tell them, you call on the God you've been calling on. You go get them to help you. Oh, no, that's not the Lord. It is too. You get the Bible and you'll find it in there. Read it, folks. We've just got this idea of God is so good at everything that God couldn't do anything. Let me tell you, he's tough. He said, you people, you wanted to serve him. You wanted to follow after him. Now when you're in trouble, don't come begging and bawling to me about it. You just go to those and let them take care of you. Well, I don't believe that's in there, preacher. Well, you come to me after the service and I'll point it out to you. It's not in there once. It's in there several times. But we don't want to hear that today. We want to just dilly-dally around with the Lord, and whenever that we want to do something, we do it. We want to take it easy until we get into a crisis, and then we want the Lord to be there to bail us out. Let me tell you something. God is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But they're not all going to do it, folks. But that doesn't excuse me and you from doing what he's given us the responsibility to do. Belshazzar died that night. Remember a few weeks ago I preached to you about the servant of the Lord who had prophesied unto the people and said, you know, this day before the day's out, they were starving to death. The Syrians had them encompassed and the Syrians were starving them out. And the old prophet came in and said, you know, before the day is out, you can buy all the food you want for a song. And one of the gatekeepers said, you know, if God were opened up the windows of heaven, that couldn't happen. And the old prophet said, I'll tell you what, my friend. You're going to see it, but you're not going to enjoy it. You're going to see that come to pass, but you're not going to enjoy it. And the reason that that was so was that after it did come to pass and they went out there and found an ample supply of food. As the people got word of that, they trampled the gatekeeper to death. And he died. He didn't see it. Well, he didn't have any idea that was going to happen to him. Let me tell you something. We need to understand that we don't know. We have no room to be saying, take it easy. Let's back off a little bit. I've got enough. The Lord's blessed me, and he's going to continue to bless me. Ahab, king of Israel. Interesting man. His wife Jezebel. We all know both those people. Ahab and Jezebel. We all know Jezebel. Some of us know Ahab. Ahab was the king. And he and his counterpart were going to go out and fight a battle. And Ahab said to his counterpart, said, now listen, I want us to go out there and get right up in the front and lead the battle. But I want you to have on your king's attire, but I'm going to disguise myself. I don't want them to know who I am because they're after me. So they go out there, and sure enough, they take after the king. His name's escaping me right now. And I just read that too. Anyway, they take after the king that's in his uniform or his outfit, his robes and everything. And then they realize, hey, this is not the guy we're after. We're looking for Ahab. Ahab, in the meantime, he's gone off the other direction. And there's an old boy out here who's out here with a bow and arrow. And he shoots an arrow into the air. Just shot it off up in the air, and it came down and hit Ahab right between the shoulder blades. Yeah. Didn't kill him instantly. But he died before the day was out in his chariot. He died. Went to all that trouble to disguise himself and had been successful in getting away from the enemy. And then, now some of you say, well, they just was a lucky shot. Yeah, it was lucky. Because it was directed by the Lord God Almighty. It wasn't just an unusual circumstance. It's an unusual circumstance, but it was in the great plan of God. And Ahab died in his chariot. And as they took him into the city, the old prophet had prophesied and said, the blood of Ahab, the dogs will lick up. And sure enough, when they bring him back into the city, the dogs come out and lick up the blood of Ahab. Now, folks, I tell you this not because it is an unusual experience in the Word of the Lord, but I want you to understand how easy it is for people to fall into this trap of thinking everything's okay. Everything's going my way. Everything's going just the way I've got it planned. And we're no different today. One more out of the Word of the Lord. In the New Testament, the Bible speaks about there being 10 virgins who went out one night to wait for the bridegroom to come. 5 wise, 5 foolish. The 5 wise took oil in their lamps, the 5 foolish didn't. The Bible says they all went to sleep. Now let me tell you something this morning. As much as we would like to think that we can look at people and tell how they're doing spiritually, you just cannot do it. You aren't that good. And I'm not either. I don't have any idea anymore in the world just where you are in your spiritual life with the Lord this morning. But I'll tell you who does know. The Lord knows, and you know. Those two know. And those are the two that count. Those two that count. He knows exactly where you are, and you know where you are too. They all went to sleep. They all had lamps. Looked the same. Couldn't tell any difference. At midnight, while they were all sleeping, a cry went out, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And they all woke up. Let me tell you something. At an unexpected time, in an unexpected way, the Lord is going to come to each and every single one of us. It may be for us to do some more work. And it may be that it's time to come on home. Not a single one of you know that. Not a single one of you know when that time is going to be. I do not know. I tell people anymore that just by reason of years, I can't have many more left. I have no idea whether before this day is out, he might had my number come up there today. Yeah. If he does, it'll be okay. Be okay. I don't know. But I do know this one thing, that when that call comes, we need to be ready. Not only do we need to be ready because God has redeemed our soul, but because we are able to have said with the apostle, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. We need to be able to know that we've done what he wants us to do. I hope that we can be at a point in our lives to where that it isn't a total shock and it isn't total surprise. But if it is, so be it. I don't want him to let me know 2 weeks or 2 months in advance of when he's going to give me that call. I don't think you do either. He said, oh, if I just knew, this is what I'd do. No, you don't know what you'd do. You don't know any more than I do. If I thought this was my last day, you think I'd be standing up here this morning? Joyce said, yes, she thinks I would. Well, Joyce, you're probably right. Quite honestly, I don't know of a much better place to be. And I don't mean because it's this building. I'm talking about with you people. People, that's what it's about. Let me tell you something. When Jesus was speaking to these men, he recognized that they, everyone, were in a very similar boat as this old boy was who had said, you know, I've been blessed. God has provided much for me. I'm going to build bigger and better, and then I'm going to sit back and take it easy. I hope that each of us will change our attitude and say, too much to do, too much work left, and I guess I'll just wear out instead of rust out.